welcome everyone. Add my welcome to Dave's. It's good to be here this morning, isn't it? And today we're on our penultimate episode, installment of our Transformed Living series. And we're going to be looking at the armour of God. This is kind of part two to the spiritual warfare talk that Bob did for us last week. I'm actually going to be talking from the same passage that Bob spoke from last week. If you didn't get that, I don't think it is on the podcast, because it will be on the podcast. So you can listen to both, one after the other. That would be good. And it's like a little two-parter. But Bob, last week, he was talking to us from this passage, which I'll read in a minute, and reminding us that although we have a victor in Jesus, we do also have an enemy who is very real, who's the devil. Bob reminds us that we don't need to be living in fear of him, but we do need to be very aware that he is there. And he doesn't want us to succeed in this transformed living that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. He wants us to fail to live a worthy life as our royal call as children of God. He wants to stop us becoming the people that we're made to be and are entitled to be in the freedom that Christ gives us. He's out to stop that. Bob also helpfully reminded us that Jesus has already defeated the enemy, the devil, on the cross. He's already died on the cross so that we can come to him and make it possible for us to be able to live his best life. Because Jesus has won, we can overcome. Because Jesus has already won, we can overcome. And we need to bear that in mind this morning. We've been singing that truth this morning, haven't we? That Jesus has won. That means we can overcome. But the reality is that we still face battles in our life. Although the devil has been defeated in the war, he does still have some power in the world today, and he's determined to use that little power that he has to scupper us and our walk with God and in some of the areas that we've been talking about in our Transform Living series so far. And even this week and in the last few weeks, I know of places and people's lives, including my own, actually, where the devil has sought to undermine the good work that God is doing amongst us in Ashwood in Transformed Living. As we've been talking about this, I can see areas where the devil is seeking to undermine that. And you and I, whether we like it or not, whether we realise it or not, we're in the midst of a battle with an enemy who uses spiritual weapons against us. And Paul's telling us here in this passage in Ephesians that we're going to read in a minute that we need to be aware of that, because there's so much more going on than we might realise it. So what can we do about it? And the good news is actually that God, in winning the war, in defeating Satan, has provided us with everything that we need for the battles that we face. And I believe that God wants to equip us today to do two things. And the first thing is to know how to defend ourselves and others. In a battle, we need to be defensive. We need to be able to defend ourselves. We need to be able to overcome and stand against every attack that comes against us. No matter how fierce that battle feels, how long it is or appear to be, we need to know how to find new strength and power to stand strong and defend ourselves to overcome that. Secondly, we need to know how to go on the offensive. In a battle, we need to be able to defend ourselves, but we also need to be able to be on the offensive to defeat our enemy. We need to know how to win ground from our enemy. And as we look at this subject of warfare, we need to do that in the order that Paul does it in the passage that I'm going to read in a moment. But he doesn't start with the nature of our enemy, our foe, the devil. He starts by looking at the strength of our greatest ally, who is Jesus. And so I think this morning God wants to teach us to be defensive, but he also wants to teach us to be offensive, and start off by remembering that we, our greatest ally and our strength lies in Jesus. So let's read this passage, shall we? It's from Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20, if you want to follow it in your Bibles, but it will be on the screen as well. I'm reading it from the New International Version. It says this. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all kinds of occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. Whenever I open my mouth, words will be given to me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Okay, so as we just kind of said before we read that passage, Paul starts with the strength of the Lord. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And victory in our battle comes first and foremost from the depth of that revelation, that what Jesus has done for us on the cross and through his resurrection and ascension, of how totally and overwhelmingly his victory is over all opposition. When we belong to God, we're in the battle, but we're in it in his strength and not in ours. The same power that conquered the grave, that came back to life, the same power that defeated the enemy once and for all is in us. And we stand in that strength and not in our own strength. And it's really important that we get hold of that as we start to look at how we defend ourselves against the battle, that we realise we're not doing that in our own strength. We're doing it in the strength of God. But then we're told in the passage to put on the full armour of God. And there's something there, an urgency actually, about the need for us to be proactive. We have to put on the armour. That's not going to be done for us. We have to be proactive with urgency to put on the full armour of God, so that when the devil comes, and it says when, it doesn't say if, it says when, we need to be prepared and ready for when he does. Because there will be times in our lives when we face battles. I don't know if anybody else remembers this, but a year or so ago, Matt crashed on his bike. Matt's a keen cycler. He goes out quite a lot cycling at the weekend or on his day off. Some of the other Ashwood guys go with him sometimes. But on this occasion, he was on his own. And I saw him not long afterwards, and he told me that what had happened is he'd been going down a hill and it was really slippy. It had been raining. He was going down the hill and he went got to the bottom and went round a corner, and it was really wet and he fell off. And when I saw him afterwards, he was dirty, he was tired, he had a massive gross graze on his leg, he looked rough. But the really scary bit was his helmet, and he showed me his helmet, and it was all kind of battered and crushed in. It was definitely not usable again. And it really hit home how essential that helmet was. If he hadn't have been wearing his helmet, then it would not have been good news. And I'm pretty sure the helmet was a bit harder and tougher than Matt's head. And the point is, Matt realises when he goes out cycling that you need to be prepared. He doesn't just have a helmet, he has the full kit, if you've ever seen him in it. He has like the goggles that protect his eyes from all the flies. He has those kind of crazy leggings that are not really a good look, and the shorts with the padded bum, which are a good idea if you're going to sit on a saddle for a while, but it's not a good look anyway. But if you're a cyclist and you cycle a lot, you realise you need all that gear. And actually, you need to wear it even on the days when you don't fall off, because the likelihood is, and that's why you put a helmet on when you're cycling, is because you know that there is a strong chance that at some point you will fall off. Matt knew the risks and he was prepared, so, and he wore that helmet and all that get up every time. even though it looks a bit silly, because he knows that he needs to be prepared so that when he does fall off, and when he did fall off on that day, he was prepared. He didn't wait until he'd fallen off and he was hurtling towards the ground to whack the helmet on his head. That wouldn't have been any good, would it? he was ready. And in the same way, we need to know that the likelihood of us coming under spiritual attack at some point in our lives is quite high, and we need to be prepared for it. We need to encourage each other to be putting on this spiritual armour every day and to go out into our day ready and protected and make into a habit that that's what we're doing. When you forget to put your helmet on, if you're going out for a ride, you soon notice that something's missing. And we need to be in the same position that when, if we go out of our, in our day and we're not prepared, that we realise that we're not prepared and we stop and we wait and we get ready and put that armour on. We need to be prepared, ready. So this is this today, when we're looking at this armour of God, this is relevant for you if you're facing a battle today, but it's also relevant for you if you're not, because we need to be ready so that when the battles come, we're already prepared for that. So let's just take a few minutes to look at the armour of God and what is available for our defence, what we shouldn't be putting on daily. Hopefully we've got a bit of a picture of these things. I'm going to look through each one at a time. So first of all, the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I don't know about you, but I reckon a belt's going to be pretty important on the battlefield. You don't want your trousers falling down, do you? You don't want to look a bit silly. And it's really important for us. It's like this holds it all together, doesn't it, the belt? It holds everything on, that we are people of truth. And this comes directly against the devil, who Jesus in John 8:44 describes as the father of all lies. Our enemy is the father of lies, and we need to stand against that in truth. God's word, the Bible, in contrast to the devil, is true. And in John 1:1, it describes Jesus as God's word among us. So God's word is true and Jesus is God's word. And Jesus describes himself in John 14:6 as the truth. Jesus isn't just someone who tells the truth. He is the truth, living and active. The way, the truth and the life. And the context when Jesus is talking in that way and describing himself as the truth is that he's talking about our salvation. That's how we are saved. If we don't love the truth, if we resist it, then we're resisting God's salvation. But if we do love the truth, then we're embracing God's salvation and we can receive the reward of that. By holding on to the truth, who Jesus is and that we need him, then we can avoid being exposed by the lies of the enemy, the father of lies. We need to be walking and loving as and living as people of truth. And a really practical way to put on this belt of truth every day is to daily declare truth. It's to speak the truth of Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, that you're a child of God, that you're saved, that you're healed, you're forgiven. These are all truths that we can speak out over ourselves, truths that cannot be changed by our circumstances, cannot be changed by the battle that we're in. The truth that Jesus is Lord, that we're a child of God, that we're saved. These are truths that are true every single day. And if you've done the Freedom in Christ course at any point, hopefully you've got a handy little postcard with like just lists of those truths that you can speak out, speak out, speak out. And it's important that we get hold of those truths, whether we're in a battle. But if you are in a battle, just being able to speak those truths really helps cement that belt of truth. So that's the belt of truth. I'm just going to have a little drink because I can feel myself getting a bit... Okay, so we've got on the belt of truth, and then the next bit of armour is the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate, it kind of goes right across your heart. It defends this area here. And on the battlefield, the heart is a vulnerable place. If you hit the heart, that's an instant kill. And similarly, we need to protect our hearts. The enemy will attack our heart. And we're told here that the way to protect our heart is by righteousness. Righteousness isn't necessarily something that gets talked about in the world a lot these days. What is it? And righteousness is kind of defined two ways. It's about our character and about who we are and a quality of being morally right and But it's also an action thing, righteousness. It's about the way we conduct ourselves and about living right. We need to make that choice daily to live that righteous life. And that's really what we've been talking about in this Transform Living series, the ways that we can live our lives right. And we need to be trying to do that every single day. But the good news is that we're told in the Bible that it's Jesus who makes us righteous. In Romans 5, verse 1, no matter what we do, no matter how righteous we live our lives, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't be trying, we should be. That's what the whole purpose of this series is about. We need to be living righteous lives. But it is it's only Jesus who makes us fully righteous. And the devil will seek to attack our heart by making us feel guilt and shame for things that we've got wrong in the past, things we mess up now and we will again. He attacks our self-worth and makes us doubt ourselves. This is how he attacks our heart. But the breastplate of righteousness gives us assurance that we're loved, accepted, forgiven, and made good and right in God's eyes by the actions of Jesus. So practically, we need to be living right. We need to seek to live right in his ways as commanded in the Bible. Implement all these things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks in Ephesians. And that is what we should be striving for. But we also need to know that we're human and it's only by faith in Jesus that we're made truly righteous. And we can keep being assured of that by coming to him when we do mess up, by admitting our faults, by saying sorry and receiving and confessing and in full assurance that he loves, accepts, forgives us and makes us righteous. So the breastplate of righteousness, living right, but also coming, confessing, receiving that righteousness on a day-to-day basis. So we've got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then feet that are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in the Amplified version of the Bible, it says that these feet, fittedness with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, are to enable us to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. We need that firm-footedness. I was talking to Andy the other day at RS to play squash a lot, and we'd been in Decathlon, and she'd seen some squash shoes. I didn't know there was such a thing as squash shoes, and then she kind of made up her mind that she wants some squash shoes. So I was kind of talking to Andy and going, does she need squash shoes? Like, why does she need those? What's wrong with the trainers that she just wears? And Andy was explaining that the benefit over normal trainers is that they're sturdier. They're kind of given extra kind of support around the ankles, and that's why squash players have the special squash shoes that prevents them from kind of tripping, going over on the ankle while they're running around the court, which can sometimes be a little bit slippy. They're sturdier, so like they make you more firm-footed when you're playing squash, and that's why anyone who does walking a lot, that's why you wear walking boots, isn't it, to kind of make your feet more firm-footed. If you ever try kind of doing this, particularly a longer walk with some rough terrain in like trainers or wellies, you're kind of a bit all over the place. But if you've got some good solid walking boots, that makes it a lot easier to be firm-footed. And the Christian life can sometimes feel like really difficult terrain sometimes, and we need to be prepared. The devil will try and wrong-foot us, try and make us stumble, try and make us fall, lead us astray, cause us to stumble. And I love that from the Amplified version, that it talks about that firm-footed stability that comes from these shoes, as opposed to stumbling around, but that is produced by the good news of peace. And we can see it, can't we, that a difficult situation comes our way and it causes us to stumble around. We don't know what to do. We don't know what's best. Sometimes we might even try and find an easier route through it so that we don't stumble, and kind of that's good. We don't want to be stumbling away from our faith, but we try and find an easier route than the one that God's given us in order to not stumble. But actually, if we've got God's peace, which we know is the good news, we can stand firm. We can say, I'm going to climb this mountain because I know that I'm wearing sturdy shoes. When Jesus, just before he died in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told the disciples his plan for redemption, that he will be leaving them. He said this. He said, I have told you those things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And knowing that good news, that gospel message that Jesus has overcome the world through what he did, through dying on the cross and rising again, It means that when we have trouble, we can have peace in what Jesus has done for us. And Philippians 4 promises, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that comes after Paul kind of calling us to not worry, but to pray about everything. And so practically, we need to kind of get this peace, we need to be in relationship with God, talking to him, bringing, not worrying, but praying about everything to get that peace that transcends all understanding. We also need to know the good news. We need to kind of get into the Bible, read that good news, be familiar with that news so that we can be filled with the peace that comes from the good news, so that we're not stumbling and falling, our feet are fitted with the readiness. And we can see this, can't we, in Claire and how she's handled her cancer diagnosis and her walk with that. That she has not stumbled from her faith. She's not looked to the left or right. She's not tripped or fallen, because she's just got in her that peace that transcends all understanding. That she just knows that from her relationship with God and from what Jesus has done for her, that then that's just carried her. That's a really practical example of someone who was walking with peace and not stumbled in a battle. So we've got our belt, we've got our breastplate of righteousness, our shoes that are fitted with the readiness of the gospel, and then we hold our shield of faith, which it says in this passage can extinguish all arrows of the evil one. Every single one, not just some of them. And when we have faith, we can put a stop to whatever attack we come under. We can extinguish completely the arrows. And I don't know if any of you know much about Roman armor, but the shield was absolutely huge. It kind of came right across the front of your body, and it kind of covered all the way down the whole completely of your body. And in the same way as that shield was a really effective defense, our faith is a really effective defense against the attack of the enemy. And faith from Hebrews 11 verse 1 is basically confidence in what we do not, in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. And those words, confidence, assurance, they speak of certainty, don't they? About who Jesus is, about what he's done, and who that makes us. And knowing that despite all that's going on around us, despite what we do not see, which is often the end of the battle. And when we're in it, we don't see it. But it's get that confidence and assurance despite that. And that's really difficult. I'm not underestimating that when you're in the middle of a battle, to have that faith is really challenging. And a shield has to be lifted. If I'm just carrying my shield, that is not a good defence. In order for it to become a good defence, you have to lift it. And I can imagine those Roman shields were pretty heavy. It's not an easy thing to lift that shield in front of you. And sometimes in the middle of the battle, that's the same with our faith. It can be a struggle to lift that shield. Because the thing that makes it so good in defence, that it is so big, makes it heavy and hard to put in place when the arrows come. But if we can build our faith before the battles, and then we build our muscles to lift that shield, and it becomes easier. Practically, we need to build our faith day by day and recognise what God has done. I loved Andy's choice of songs this morning. They were just so faith-building and reminded us of the things that God has done. And even if we've not experienced some of those things, like if we can't find things in our own life in that moment, there's all those truths that we sing in our songs week by week, and listen to those songs in the week, remind ourselves of what God has done. But actually reminding ourselves of what God's done in our own life as well is a really good thing to do in the battles. keep a diary if that helps. I know Esther Ransom, for a year last year, she kept a thankfulness diary, and every day she wrote down three things she was thankful to God for. And I know that really upheld her and helped her, and she can go back even now and look at those. So do that in the good times. Write down the things that God has done, so that when a struggle comes, it's easier to just recognize those things that God has done. And the other practical thing as well is others helping us in this. and the faith of others can help defend us. And the Roman defence with their shields, what they used to do is they had all these shields that were massive, but they all used to clump together and put all their shields in one big long line so that they were all behind a shield. And then a couple of people would put their shields up above, and they were basically in this like kind of wall room with a roof. So they were kind of in this little kind of protective room. And actually, the strength of the faith of others in times when we're struggling is so valuable. And I'm can testament to that even this week when I've been having a bit of a tough time, just being able to send a text and some other people going, come on, put like lift up what God's done, remember what he's done, remember his faithfulness, has just really helped. And knowing those prayers of others and the faith of us to go, come on, you can get through this, has really been helpful. So get those others around us. And in a time when you're struggling, we're part of a community, aren't we? And if we can't summon that faith to lift our shields, then there will be someone alongside you who can lift their shield and put it in front of you. So just practically, it's really important to build our faith in good times so we've got it when the struggles come, but also that we can surround. And also then we, in the good times for us, we can use our shields in defence of others and protect of others. That's great. So the final little bit of armour about defence is the helmet of salvation. And the enemy loves to make us doubt. And that is a mind attack. It will attack our mind. And we know that, don't we? When something is going wrong a little bit, our thought life just can go all over the place. It can just ricochet into like this massive, such a small thing can become this massive thing as we start to doubt in ourselves and to doubt God. I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. That person doesn't like me. I got that wrong. I'm a bad person. And our thought life just kind of spirals out of control. Our mind and our thought life is so vulnerable to attack. And so we need this helmet of salvation that will protect our minds and our thought life. 2 Corinthians 10 talks about taking captive every thought. Those of you on Freedom in Christ at the moment, last week we're looking at kind of this taking captive every thought. They've been looking at stronghold busters, which are designed to do just that, to take captive every thought by replacing the thoughts that have taken us captive with the truth of God's salvation. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. This is in our mind, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that's in the context just before that of Paul talking about spiritual warfare, what we're talking about this morning, that we can take captive every thought. And the helmet of salvation helps us to do that, to be rescued. Salvation is being rescued, and it's being brought out from those attacks that we have, because we know that we're saved not through anything we can do, but what Jesus did for us. And to protect our minds, we need to get hold of that. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who am I to fear? When we know that God is our salvation, we have nothing to fear. Because we are saved by what Jesus has done, nothing that comes against us can destroy us. When we accept Jesus, we're saved. It's simple as that. So once we're saved, we accept Jesus, we don't need to fear. We don't need to doubt. We don't need to allow those thoughts to linger in our minds. And stronghold busters in the Freedom in Christ course, they use those words of salvation and truth to replace those kind of attacks of the mind so we can take captive every thought. So practically, first of all, do you know that you're saved? If you don't know that you're saved this morning, if you don't know that you've said yes to Jesus coming into your life and saving you from the things that you get wrong and the things that you mess up on, then let's do that this morning. So me or one of the prayer team would love to speak to you afterwards about that. Let's make sure that we know that we're saved. If we know that we're saved, let's really get hold of that because of our salvation, no attack of the enemy can defeat us. And let's find truths and if you're under attack, find truths that speak into that situation in the word of God and declare those over yourself. And the helmet of salvation protects our minds so we can take captive every thought, make it obedience to Christ. So, defensively, be ready. Declare truth. Live righteous. Walk in peace. Build your faith. Be sure of salvation. And verse 13 says, if we do that, when trouble comes, we can stand. And the Message version puts it like this: take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you will still be on your feet. And that's so important, isn't it? Standing, being still on our feet at the end of the battle, when the battle's finished, to just still be on our feet, that's so important. There's such strength in standing, in rather than falling, rather than sitting. We're standing. If we can put this defensive stuff on, when we get to our battles, we can remain standing. And that's so important. But also, it's important that we recognise we can also take ground. We're not in a battle where the best that we can hope for is to stand still. That is not the truth of the position that we're in. We can stand still, and sometimes that's all we need to do in the battle, just stand and hold our ground. But the truth is, we are in a position with Jesus where we can take ground and we can be on the offensive to take ground from the enemy. We can remove strongholds in our lives and the lives of others. We can share our faith. We can go out from here. We can build our faith. We can take ground from the enemy because Jesus has won already. And one of the ways that we do that is this next bit of armour, the sword of the Spirit, which it describes here as the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And that kind of pray, it's not a tag on. It's a really essential bit of this. And this is how we take ground, by prayer and by the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and by prayer. When Jesus faced the devil in the wilderness before he started his ministry and he was tempted directly by the devil, he did not shout or scream or stomp. He simply quoted the word of God. In Matthew 4:10, it says this: Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." He took words directly from scripture and he said, "This is truth." And if we can know the word of God inside out, we can just simply quote it at the devil when he's attacking us. The devil hates it when we use the word of God. It's a really powerful weapon. It cuts through like a sword whatever the devil is trying to do, because the devil knows that it is the truth as well. So whatever you're facing, find scriptures that just speak truth about that situation, that just declare the truth of what God has done, who God is, who you are in Christ, and be able to quote those scriptures. And if you can't find those scriptures and those words of God in that situation, ask someone else, because someone else will be able to identify for you scriptures that speak truth that you can declare. And pray. It wreaks havoc on our enemies. I can tell you this week, in the battle that we're facing this morning, I can tell you with clarity, the moment that prayer came into the picture, it changed. It changed the perspective of what was going on in my life this week. And that is the power of prayer. The prayer of others. I knew other people were praying. And Paul and I, in the situation that we've been going through, we said, we need to pray about this. We need to pray about this. We've not been. And we did. And it's like an instant change. And it doesn't mean the battle is done. It doesn't mean the battle is over. But the prayer wreaks havoc on the enemy. He's trying to break our relationship with Jesus. And the relationship is maintained through conversation. And so we need to keep on praying. And when we use prayer and the word of God, we won't just stand still. We will take ground in what the enemy is doing. So let's get into good habits. Keep going. Prayer can sometimes be a battle. A lot of us are praying for Catherine at the moment, and that is a battle. You know, we seem to take a step forward. We seem to take some ground, and then something else happens. But that does not mean that we give up. We keep going, and we keep taking ground. Sometimes prayer is a battle, and prayer makes a real difference. So the word of God and prayer. So I just think the kids are going to be coming back through in a few minutes with their boxes, but I think it's really important. Let's stand together, shall we? Because in a battle, we need to be on our feet. And once the kids have come in and we've done the shoeboxes and we've prayed for those, the prayer team are going to be available. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if God's been speaking to you, if you don't know that you're saved, first of all, and you want to be, come and get some prayer for that. But if you recognise that there's an area in this armour of God where you need to be putting it on and you just need a bit of extra support for that, come and get some prayer. If you're in a battle right now and you just need someone to stand with you in that and share their faith, share their strength, then come and receive some prayer. But we're standing right now because we're declaring that we know that Jesus has won. He is our strength. He is our stronghold. He is our mighty tower. It is with him that we face our battles. We are not alone in it. And when we put on this armour of God, which is, it's simple when we've been talking about it this morning. It's just simple habits and simple things that can feel so difficult sometimes. But the truth is that when we can wear this armour of God, we can face the battles. We can get through with the battles and we can come through the other side. And we know, don't we, that battles and hardships are often places where we grow, where we develop, where we conquer, where we take ground. We know that is true. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't feel difficult at the time, does it? But it is the truth that God has won on our behalf. So let's just pray before the children come back in. Father God, we are so grateful that we can be strong in you and in your mighty power. That is the truth of where we stand in light of what you have done, in light of our salvation, in light of your faithfulness, in light of your strong spirit living in us. This is the truth of where we are. We're provided with everything that we need to face the battles that we face. And for those of us who don't feel in a battle this morning, we rejoice with you. That is what we're called to do, rejoice with those who rejoice. And we just pray that in that season that we'll be equipping ourselves, strengthening ourselves, building ourselves up in faith, ready to be equipped and ready to help those around us who are facing battles, Lord God, because we're in community. We're in this together, Lord God. And we pray for those who are in battles right now, that you will help them to call to mind your faithfulness, the things that you have done, the truth of your salvation, the truth of your peace, the truth of that you have won and you have won the victory. And Lord God, we just pray that you'll help us to stand with our brothers and sisters who are going through battles. And for those of us who are going through battles, that we'll be strong enough to put on this armour so that at the end of it, we're still standing. We're still standing in the name of Jesus and in what he's done for us. We praise you, God. We lift your name up high. You are our victory, and that never changes. In Jesus' name, amen.